This talk is offered by Ordinary Mind Zendo. Ordinary Mind was founded by Barry Magid, Dharma heir of Charlotte Joko Beck, and is dedicated to her vision of a psychologically minded Zen practice adapted to the needs of American students practicing in the context of their everyday lives. Our public programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
So the view is very different from this scene. So you get a nice view of everybody on the video. My talk today is going to be sometimes about the precept around anger. The precept that we take is, I vow not to indulge in self-centered anger. But the precept has like a lot of different ways in which it is said. Some of them I find much more helpful than others. Some of them are just don't be angry, which I have a hard time with. And some of them are more like don't indulge in anger or don't indulge in ill will. And they kind of go different places. And I'm just planning to like talk kind of loosely based on my notes, and also about like what's been going on with me, and about how I came to practice Zen, and those type of things. So we'll see how it holds together. Right now, my life has kind of been all over the place. I think some of you know I've been working as a chaplain recently, which I have found to be a very emotionally draining job. I just had my first child, Amos, in May, so I have a newborn, and my job ended in August, so these past 2 months I've been unemployed, which has been its own kind of stress. And at the end of all this, I find out that I got a job. I finally got a job, which I was very excited about, but it's in Nashville, so I'm going to have to move on top of it. So my practice has been a lot about just trying to be with the anxiety, the overwhelming feelings I have all the time, both the excitement and the anticipation. If you've talked to me in the past few months, probably what we talked about was that my baby is not sleeping through the night. That is probably what we talked about. That continues to be true last night, so never fear. It's still a difficult thing. I think I've tried, me and Lisa have tried all kinds of stuff to try to get him to sleep. I mean, we have tried feeding him, we've tried responding to him, we've tried not responding to him. We recently moved our mattress into our living room. We have a one-bedroom apartment, so we just foisted the mattress into the living room, and so we've been sleeping on a mattress in the living room, giving Amos his own dark, undisturbed place for sleep. And that's almost worked. Then he caught a cold, and we kind of went backwards. I think I have done everything except the thing that Barry has suggested, which is that I chant moo at him. Give him a little, you know, taste of non-duality. But maybe tonight. Maybe tonight will be the breaking point. So that is kind of the situation that I've been in. And it, you know, it strikes me like this week I have been meditating in the morning, doing my zazen in front of not a wall, but like the underside of a mattress has been my frame for zazen. And I've been thinking about, you know, this question that Claire asked me at one point as we were doing Jukai classes. I really enjoy some of the intellectualism, some of the stories of the Buddhist tradition, and I really enjoy wrapping my head around those things. And I maybe in an effort to bring me back or just to kind of get my practice full in the center of it, she asked me, what was the relationship between my life and my practice? And that took me a second. Because I think right now that my practice is my life. That there isn't a separation between the two. That I'm constantly trying to just live into the things that are going on in my life. And my zazen is almost just a reflection of what's going on elsewhere. It's not a lot different than some of the rest of my life. I think the worst that happened to me recently was in the NICU. That was the time when it was just like too far. So when Amos was born, he had swallowed some meconium, and we had to go to the NICU with Amos. So Amos spent the first 4 or 5 days in the NICU. And I hated every moment of that. That's a place that just has so much, so many beeps, so many bangs, so many people coming and going. For me, the worst part was he had so many cords attached to him, so many things coming off of his body, nasal cannula, IV. He had leads that, you know, were constantly checking his heart rate and his oxygen intake. And I felt like I couldn't even hold him. It felt like I, like, just couldn't get him out of the little box thing. I forget the name, the isolette, and hold him. It was so difficult, and I was so upset with that. And I was so angry with all of those things. And I think that's the place of practice for me recently has been, how do I live into that? How do I just not reject those moments? Because they're not what I want, but they're what I have. And having a son, I've also been really thinking a lot about my own dad. And he is in some way the reason I practice Zen now. When I was in college, my dad was struggling with lung cancer that metastasized to his brain, and eventually, in my sophomore year of college, he passed away. And I was taking a class on Buddhism at the time, my first ever real exposure to Buddhism. And I remember hearing the Four Noble Truths, the first of which is the fairly daunting life is suffering. And I remember my professor, she gave us Oreos. She gave us all Oreos, had us eat the Oreos, and she said, "Now, according to the Buddhists, that Oreo was suffering." And I don't know about that exercise, but this idea that life is suffering didn't gel with me at the beginning of the semester. But after my dad died, by the end of the semester, I felt like I knew exactly what that was about. That life is sometimes very unpleasant. It is full of suffering. It is full of loved ones leaving us. And that propelled me to study and to practice. Now, what it really propelled me into was like studying and practicing in this kind of form where like I was going to sit and then I was going to have a really great experience, you know, and maybe the clouds would part a little bit and I would no longer be angry or upset, or I would just understand how all the things fit together, you know, like it would just be better. There was me before and I was going to meditate a little bit and then I was going to be on a different level. When I first sat, I remember sitting in like these 40-minute blocks with these people in Knoxville and just being so frustrated with it. It wasn't working. So I spent a long time being like, what am I doing wrong, you know? And not wanting to fess up to the people around that I was doing it wrong. They all must have been doing it right, but something I was doing was off. It was at the same time that I began to recognize that this precept of not being angry was something I kind of had like a long kind of weird relationship with, because I imagined that I could just, like, not be angry. And, you know, growing up in my family, there was a way in which anger was treated with, like, you don't get angry. You don't do that. And it was so hard for me, because after my dad died, I realized in the grief I was going through, anger was such a major component of it. And I felt like I shouldn't have that, that shouldn't be part of what I was feeling. I was told by people that it wasn't my dad's fault, I shouldn't be angry with him. So I was very angry with him in a way that I couldn't express to myself. I couldn't understand it myself for a really long time. And I remember going to a stranger's funeral, which is a bizarre thing to do anyway. But I went with one of my friends, and it was like her grandfather, who she kind of knew. And when I went in, the one person who gave a eulogy, it was very short. He just went up there and he said, "I'm so angry because he lied to me. He said we were going to be friends for a long time, and he lied." And that really broke my heart, because it was exactly what I had been feeling inside about my dad. That I was just so upset about him leaving me. And a lot of what drew me to practice in the first place was this desire that if I could just block off that pain, or if I could just not be angry, if I could just handle the grief well or something, that it would all work out. That hasn't been exactly how practice has panned out for me. I found it over time with the different teachers I've had, and Barry especially emphasizes this point for me of just being with whatever it is, not excluding anything. So for me, this precept of not being angry, I have to go in the completely opposite direction. My precept is, I need to be angry when I'm angry. I need to know it and be in relationship to that anger. So I'm kind of treating the precept the exact opposite of how you would expect it to be treated. To just be angry. And that's okay. I think I've played a game in my head that I don't think I'm alone in playing. Whenever I get angry or really upset, I say, am I justified in my anger? Is this like okay anger? You know, did the person do something so egregious that it's okay that I'm angry? Okay, yeah, then I can be angry. But if no, then I have this tremendous sense of shame. Like, oh, I'm not supposed to be angry. Then I'm not supposed to have that feeling. And it's all these supposed to. So my practice right now is just to try to be with those supposed to's, to be with those things that are coming up, and to not exclude them as much as I can, because I exclude them all the time. But just to, whenever I can, just to open up to that space, to just whatever's going on. I think Dogen, I'm going to quote some Dogen here. Dogen gives my favorite bit on this precept. Not advancing, not retreating, not real, not empty. There is an ocean of bright clouds. There is an ocean of solemn clouds. And I like that, just trying to show up to my life, not having to advance into it or retreat out of it, but just to be wherever I am, to be with my screaming baby in the middle of the night holding him, to be angry, to be sad, to be happy. And there's an ocean of bright clouds and an ocean of solemn clouds. I like that too, because I feel like there are thoughts and feelings that I have. I'm like, ooh, those are bright clouds. And there are the solemn clouds. But they're all just the thoughts and feelings I have. And they're all just coming and going. And the only thing I can do is just to be with them. So today, you know, as is often the case, I got to look down the row as I was meditating and again be a little bit jealous of everybody who was getting it. I see all of you who got it. You know who you are. And then I had the experience of being angry at the people in front of me in Kinhin. No offense, Mom. You just weren't doing it right. And I know you're doing it just to annoy me. I also got to have this whole tremendous nervousness around the talk. And those are just my clouds today. Those are just the things I'm sitting with. I'm feeling very sad about leaving New York and about leaving you guys. This has been a wonderful place to practice these last few years, and I have found everybody so supportive of me and what I'm going through, always curious, always helpful. I want to thank Claire and Gail, the Jukai group. It has been great to do. We have one more meeting. I want to thank Barry for his teaching, for being so supportive of me and my work in chaplaincy and just everything. I also want to thank Chris for being at the door anytime anybody buzzes. There's Chris. And to thank all the rest of you too for just being a part of my life, however big or small. Thank you all so much.